Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio now. I'm Mitch Tyke.
And I'm Bonnie North. It's been a violent week in several parts of the world. Even amid signs of a de-escalation in Syria, a terrorist incident rocked the African nation of Ivory Coast. And another terror bombing in Turkey raised fears about instability in that vital Western ally.
Art Sear is our regular foreign policy contributor, and he joins us to add some context to the conversation. Welcome back to the show, Art.
Well, thank you for welcoming me back, Mitch. I very much appreciate being on this program.
So a number of violent acts took place over the weekend, and I'm curious to sort of talk about their similarities and their differences. Let's start with the gunman who attacked a resort hotel in Ivory Coast. This was not long after similar attacks in the capital of Burkina Faso, Ouagadougou, and some other places. This is sparking fears of an Islamist uprising in Africa.
I think that's understandable. It's important also to keep in mind that with our 24/7 pervasive nonstop global electronic media, and truly global today, that local incidents become magnified. I don't minimize the human tragedy involved. I don't believe there's some broad international conspiracy of Islamic radicals and terrorists or anyone else. I do think that there are important threats to our own national security. I do think, finally, the most important thing for Americans to do is learn more about developing parts of the world, and it's actually very good we're paying more attention to events in Africa. There's nothing new about killing in Africa or other countries, but we used to have kind of a blind spot for the African continent, and I'm glad that's changing.
So on one hand, it's good that we know about this, and on the other hand, you're saying don't blow it out of proportion?
Exactly, yeah, which is more easily said than done, especially in a campaign year in the U.S., there's a tremendous amount of, really tremendous amount of foreign investment going into Africa. China has been assiduously courting African nations since they became new nations, mostly in the 1960s, after the Sino-Soviet split around 1959-60. China became the tribune of the developing world focused on Africa. A lot of what's in the news today about China's investment is really China building on this very long-term strategic engagement, and it's all to the good that the U.S. especially is, in a way, countering that.
At least two of these countries, Ivory Coast and Burkina Faso, I believe were both formerly French colonies. Mm-hmm. Of all the Western powers that might have an interest in ensuring stability, does French pay particularly close attention to these places? Does France, rather?
I'm not an expert on European colonialism and a lot of other things. The French do emphasize the theme of assimilation, which means they see them as part of wider France. The British have the Commonwealth, but the British-African dynamic, I believe, is quite different. France has a remarkably effective military, as does Britain, historically and currently. The French army, the French Foreign Legion, has been extraordinarily effective in Mali and elsewhere in Africa in helping to suppress very real terrorist and guerrilla threats.
Now, an unstable Ivory Coast is one thing. An unstable Turkey would be something completely different. There were attacks in Ankara over the weekend as well. Are these a source for greater concern?
It's a source of embarrassment for the Turkish government. I believe the fact that the President Erdogan and associates have been becoming increasingly repressive regarding the media is most unfortunate. And the fact that these, I think ironically, the fact that these attacks have occurred, they've had about three in the last month or so, will not only reinforce their involvement with NATO and especially the U.S., I believe, but I think will also indirectly encourage more rational policies on the part of the Ankara government. That's kind of counterintuitive and counter to a lot of media commentary, but I do believe the stability, basic democracy, and incredible economic growth in Turkey, again, is encouraging and will reinforce closer ties with the West.
Well, and we've talked about this before. You see Turkey as playing a really pivotal role in a literal one, of course, in bridging the East and West.
Yeah, that's right. It's something of a media and literary and entertainment cliche even, but Turkey does quite literally span East and West. Their geostrategic importance is undeniable. They are for that reason, an especially important ally for the West, especially the U.S., in terms of developing trade relations, in particular in the former Soviet Union and in the wider Middle East.
We should also go much further east and talk about the latest from North Korea. North Korea says they've been able to put warheads on missiles. They're once again, I feel like we talk about this every month, rattling mm-hmm. some sabers. Do we have any sense for what North Korea's trying to get out of making this noise?
I don't believe it's a rational regime. They're trying to get attention, among other things. The erratic behavior of Pyongyang is basically unproductive for them, especially in terms of getting economic investment and aid from the West.
They haven't given any indication they want economic investment or aid.
The reality is that they are in desperate need. Even this removed hierarchy has to have some concern for the population. They, in fact, have had at least one major trade show sponsored by China in North Korea. They're not going to emphasize their weakness publicly, but I do believe that Washington has increasing leverage on Beijing, which in turn is the one power that can restrain North Korea. Additionally, the ceasefire has held since 1953, a terribly destructive war, the Korean War between 50 and 53, which really made the Cold War global. Was ended by Eisenhower. There has been no reignition of hostilities, fortunately, and given the bellicose and bizarre and sometimes insane rhetoric from the North Korean government, it's important to keep that in mind. South Korea remains an extremely important ally for the U.S.
And this, does this speak particularly to the stability of the South Korean government at this point?
Yes, indeed. I think Washington should allow South Korea, as we generally have, to take the lead in any kind of direct relations with North Korea. They're a remarkable success story fundamentally for the Korean people, but also for U.S. foreign policy. A country, a peasant economy devastated by the Korean War, was redeveloped and has become one of the most powerful economies in the world, one of the strongest democracies. The U.S., it's their accomplishment, but the U.S.-South Korean partnership has been crucial.
You mentioned China, and interesting to read newspapers from China who have been covering the U.S. presidential campaign season, and one in particular using the rise of Donald Trump to gloat about what I think it was the China Times referred to as the fault lines showing in democracy. I think there are a lot of countries that are looking at this election cycle pretty closely.
Absolutely. Trump is made to order for people who want to exploit negative stereotypes and negative images of the U.S. And it's not surprising that the communist regime in China is doing so as actively as they are. I think it makes serious and thoughtful discussion of all policy matters even more important in this country, given the fact that the Republicans' frontrunner currently is the worst kind of, in my view, extreme demagogue, a very cynical person who exploits the worst instincts in public opinion. In that regard, I do want to commend and thank our president at Carthage, Greg Woodward, who's lined up Congressman Paul Ryan as our commencement speaker this May. Ryan also addressed the college in 2006. I don't particularly agree with the Speaker of the House, but he is one of the most senior and influential and most serious and thoughtful policy commentators on the scene today. And these kinds of leaders, whether Republicans or Democrats, are more important than ever.
Do you think China sees something in the cult of personality surrounding Donald Trump that they recognize?
I'm sure they'll exploit it as much as possible. You're right to describe him that way. He has no policy. He has no policy credentials. He has no really consistent policies. The whole thing is reality TV projected on a national stage regarding the most serious issues. I realize I'm getting old, but I've been around long enough to find this particularly disturbing. Until a few decades ago, reality TV was considered unacceptable by the networks and by the American public generally. Those pitchmen and promoters have been around as long as television. The fact that it's now gone mainstream is a very sad commentary on all of us.
You would probably recognize this reference. I mean, there are some who point to what they've heard at Donald Trump rallies and compared it actually to George Wallace in the early 70s.
Yes, George Wallace in 1968 ran as a third-party candidate, got about 13% of the vote, but because he was regionally concentrated in the South, he was a segregationist notorious segregationist governor and firebrand from Alabama. He was able to come close to throwing the election in the U.S. House of Representatives. I think he was a far more dangerous person than Trump. I certainly hope I'm right about that. He was a far more intelligent and skillful politician. He'd actually been elected to public office. His rallies were real riots. I remember watching them as a very young person on television. It was really, really disturbing, as were the 60s in terms of urban violence, political violence, riots generally in our country. We're a long way from that situation today. And given media emphasis and media exaggeration of what's going on related to the Trump campaign, I think we should all keep that in mind.
Well, Art Sear, we can always count on you not to exaggerate things. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I really appreciate it, Mitch.
Art Sear is a professor of political economy and world business and the director of the Clausen Center for World Business at Carthage College in Kenosha. He is also our regular Lake Effect contributor on foreign affairs.